Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Austin says no to rideshares, Uber, and Lyft. And would you board a commercial jet airplane with a detachable cabin?
What?
Yep, details coming up.
Speaking of rideshare companies and the controversy surrounding them, how does a woman seeking a ride ensure her safety? At 3:20, we have the answer, a rideshare company exclusively for women.
At 3:35, Gwen Duncan is in studio to talk to us about a last-minute way to get out of the middle seat. And what do you do with your seating assignment has been canceled by an airline?
Excuse me?
Yes?
Gwen Duncan is already here.
Well, okay.
So she'll still be here at 3:35? Shall I check with her? Gwen, will you still be here at 3:35?
Sure.
Oh, okay,
right.
Good. Okay.
Hang in there, girl.
That's good. Then I just wanted to check on that, you know, because if she was leaving early, well, I thought we'd have to rearrange things. Tom, you remember about a month ago when we interviewed my tour operator friend, Sue, who was about to head out on a worldwide scavenger hunt? Remember that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, anxious for an update.
Yeah, well, Sue is back, and she's going to be here at 3:50 to tell us how the scavenger hunt went.
Perfect. It's a picture-perfect Sunday afternoon, my friends, and I am most pleased to be back in the saddle. Welcome to the latest edition of the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Two kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, we are the Travel Guys back on the radio. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Been a while since I've been in the
Tom
studio.
Tom Romano to my right. Hey.
Yes, thank you very much.
Hey, nice to have you back, my friend.
I am so pleased to be here.
Yeah, well, and it's actually you. It's not even the ghost of you.
No,
it's...
no, and you know, I want to just shout out to, certainly to you for being the one man band most of the time. To Gwen Duncan and Steve LaRosa and Clayton and Chris and all those that. That filled this seat and helped you out over the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Well, I am tremendously happy to have you back.
Thank you.
First of all, because you're a friend of mine, and second of all, because I don't know how to do a lot of the things that you know how to do when it comes to radio, so I'm really happy to have you back.
Well, I'm going to do my best to see if I can keep it that way.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
I know that over the last few days, you and I have been corresponding back and forth on text in regards to this weekend show, and,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of time when I would get you, you were, especially towards the end of the week, you were right in the middle of something that you do every year, and it is, at this time of the year, it's a little bit of a summer tour preview.
Yeah,
thing.
Well, we have, at Sports Leisure Vacations, twice a year, we invite people to come and find out what it is that we are selling, and so over the last couple of days, we had about 300 guests at our office at over on Old Winery Place there and off of Folsom Boulevard right on the edge of Rancho Cordova. And we had telling folks all about the things we're going to do for the holidays. And we had we had perfect weather. So thank you to the weather gods for that. When it comes to weather, always put in your order early, I think, is the deal. And so a lot of folks who came out, and it was nice to see a lot of old friends and folks who have traveled with us for a lot of years, and our company's been around for 37 years, and we have a lot of second-generation travelers now, people who are, their parents traveled with us, and now they're traveling with us and continuing a family tradition, if you will.
And the neat thing is that Mark, he started at such an early young age that he's actually able to enjoy the double generations without having to hand the torch off. This is great news.
Yeah, it is. And I plan to do this for a few more years. Somebody said, how long are you going to do this? And I said, well, somebody asked me when we got to about 30, how long are you going to do this? And I said, well, 50 seems like a good number.
That's
then
a good number.
We'll go from there.
Sure.
So, I take people on vacation for a living. So while it's not, while you were gone, we sat 8 hours at the airport in Denver. We'll tell you about
that
someday.
I heard that story. I heard that on the radio.
Yeah, it's not, travel has its it's stress, as anybody who travels a lot can tell you. But and if you're in charge of a lot of people when you're out there on the road, why, it carries some extra responsibility. But then again, you get to do things like go to Carnegie Hall, as I told the listeners, and listen to this incredibly awesome concert. And that's part of what you do for a living. So I'm a pretty lucky guy.
All right. Well, let's do what we always do at the beginning of the Travel Guys radio show. Let's bring on the travel news with Mr. Mark Hoffman. Mark, what do you got for us?
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Uber and Lyft have all halted service in Austin. They had a referendum last weekend in Austin, and Uber and Lyft lost. And basically what this said was that they spent $8 million to try to sway the vote.
Wow.
There, and they still lost 56-44%. What it basically, the city of Austin is saying, look, you guys are going to pick people up off the streets. We're going to have some rules, and you're going to get fingerprinted, and you're going to do the same thing that taxi drivers do, because that's about public safety, and that's our job. And so the Uber and Lyft people said, well, not so much. So they left Austin on Monday morning. They're still operating in the suburbs. This has happened in a couple other cities. In each case, the cities have backed down, and Uber and Lyft have come back in, but that has not happened in Austin as of yet. There's also a controversy brewing in Houston. We're going to have a guest here, Tom, in a few minutes, who's going to join us and talk about a new ride-sharing service for ladies. And he's going to talk about, I think, he's going to emphasize the fact that the difference between his rideshare service and some of these others is that they go that extra step to make sure that people are a little bit better protected. So we'll see what happens here. This is a big deal. A lot of people use Uber and Lyft. A lot
sure.
of people drive for Uber and Lyft. This is a big part of the sharing economy, and I'm sure it will get worked out, but I think it needs to be worked out to err on the side of public safety. Anyway, we'll have a guest who's going to talk a little
Austin,
bit more about that.
You know, you've been to Austin.
I have.
You know, it's a walk to bar, but not everywhere.
No.
And it certainly looks like the kind of service that would proliferate in that particular type
of
community.
It's a city with a young demographic. Yep. It's got a big nightlife. And so, yes, Uber and Lyft would be, ride sharing services would do very well there. So we'll talk some more about this with our guest Tim when he calls in at 3:20. Would you board a plane with a detachable cabin?
I've never heard of such a thing.
I don't even have the picture here. Go to travelguysradio.com and see if Melissa's got it up there. I don't know if she made it there or not. This just came up at the very end, right before we went on the air, so you find it for me. But anyway, this Russian guy has created a model of an airplane that scientifically, he says, will work, where the entire fuselage can detach from the rest of the airplane and slowly float down to Earth attached to parachutes. So if that works for you.
No, I don't think there is even a picture of it available.
Yeah, well,
there.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
well,
would I do that?
Uh-huh.
Not without some past history of it working quite successfully.
Working first, yeah. I can see that. TSA has been in the news, Tom, every week while you have been gone, telling us how the lines are. First, it was people telling us how long the lines were going to be. Then it was people telling us how long the lines were.
Right.
Then it was TSA telling us that if we want the lines shorter, to pay them overtime and hire some more people.
Mm-hmm.
And so Congress this last week said, well, then let's pay them some overtime and hire some more people and find out why this is such a problem. In the first place, I knew as soon as the congressman started to stand in the lines, we would get some action here. But anyway, they are hiring some more people. TSA has 4,000 fewer screeners than it had 2 years ago, and there's 8% more people traveling. So if you do that math, that would tell you that that's probably the reason they're having some challenges, is because they've got fewer people and more travelers, and also not as many people signed up for the TSA PreCheck as they hoped would, which to me is kind of strange. If you travel all the time, why you would not have that? But Tom, you know, sometimes you go to airports and the pre-check line is longer than the regular line. So that indicates to me that there aren't very many adults in the room at TSA, and that maybe that's what we need. And some people are saying, well, you should privatize this, which in San Francisco and Kansas City and a few other places, they don't use the TSA. They have already opted out, and they are private. So you go to San Francisco, if you wait in a long line waiting to get in the airport through security, has nothing to do with TSA, because TSA is not running security. They're just overseeing the security in San Francisco.
Well, there you go. Well, I threatened and said, yeah, I think I'll sign up for this.
Right.
But it got to the point where it seemed like every time I flew, I was already given pre-board.
You were already...
I was already pre-screened to use the Fastlane.
Just by random luckiness.
For whatever the reason, yeah, well, like 90% of the time.
And that has been, I believe that's the reason some people have not signed up for it, is because if you were kind of a frequent flyer and you traveled a lot and the airline knew a lot about you, then you were kind of considered trusted enough to maybe get that. So perhaps as some of those people get caught in long lines, things will change. Hey, you've heard of the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose,
sure.
Right?
Oh, sure. Been there. Love that place.
Everybody knows about that.
Always get a little seasick.
Well, there's going to be a film. It's been announced on, it's going to be called Winchester. And they're going to be doing shoots at the historic house in 2017, and it looks like that they are going to have a there's going to be a movie about the about Sarah Winchester and the Winchester Mystery House and why she built that. You know, she was afraid of ghosts, and speaking as we do often of ghosts on this program, and so she built this house, and there's a whole great story behind it with all these dead ends in the house.
Fascinating. I'm surprised that wasn't done a long time ago.
That was my thought exactly when I read it. Enterprise, you know, car rental damage on car returned cars at car rental companies has become a big bone of contention. And so Enterprise Car Rental has done something really amazing. Let me show you this here, Tom. This is a, they've created a tool for their people to use that says if a dent or a ding or a scrape is smaller than this, then it's not to be, it's not of our concern.
Okay, yeah, it's a little circular diameter thing, and if it falls within that range, then it's okay.
Right, if it's bigger than that, why, then it's not okay. And so what their goal is to kind of standardize the way their people look at damage when people bring it back. They started using this just recently, and already the number of Christopher Elliott at Elliott.org says the number of people complaining about Enterprise rental car and the damages and stuff have dropped by 2/3 in the last 2 months.
I think that they ought to just go ahead and go around with a ball peen hammer, ding them all up.
You think?
And then rent the darn things. Who cares if you're renting a car that's got a few dents in it? I hate spending 45 minutes going around showing the guy all of these stupid little scrapes and...
I think we hit a nerve there, boys and girls.
I'll be okay.
Hey, listen, Hilton Honors is having a sale where you can buy 1,000 points for $5 until June the 3rd. All I have to say to you folks, every time one of these comes up, American Airlines, United Airlines, Hilton Honors, whatever it is, don't buy points from these people. The only exception would be is if you were a couple thousand points away from getting an award that you needed a four-night stay or something like that, and you just were very close, then that would be the exception. But otherwise, it's never a good deal to buy these points. Coming up next, we talk to a man from a brand new ride-sharing service for the ladies.
All right, that's next, right here on The Travel Guys. It's The Travel Guys, sometimes known as incredibly viable and marginally lifelike. We're brought to you by Sports.
What kind of drugs do they have you on?
I'm just stuck on that news story that James had at the top of the hour. I don't even know what that was in reference for. It's just, you know how things get stuck.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman with Sports Leisure Vacations to my left. I'm Tom Romano, and as we teased before the break, we're going to talk about specifically ride sharing for the ladies. Mark, who do we have?
We are. You know, we were talking about how Uber and Lyft had pulled out of Austin last week, specifically because this proposition, this ordinance was not passed, which forced them into rules that they really didn't want, which to some of us seem kind of some of these rules seem kind of logical, like fingerprinting and stuff like that. Our guest is Mike Pelletz. Mike, am I pronouncing your last name right?
You said it perfectly.
Okay.
Yes.
Michael is with a new ride-sharing service called SafeHer. And SafeHer. Michael, tell us about this new ride-sharing service and how it was born.
Okay, well, I was a former rideshare driver for about 9 months, and two things that I noticed. I'm out of Massachusetts, is you don't really see many women rideshare drivers. And then at night, you never see any women rideshare drivers. And I have a wonderful wife, and she would have loved to have drove for rideshare companies, but she had that fear in her mind about safety and security, but I didn't have that. So after driving for 8 months and listening to thousands of women passengers in my back seat actually tell me horrific stories, from just a basic being made to feel uncomfortable, the conversation that went too far, to actually being touched and groped. And I mean, I've heard this at least 100 times, that a driver would drop them off and they would lock the door and say, "I'm not letting you out until you give me a kiss."
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, all these things I couldn't even fathom happening. So all of these incidents were in my head. And about 10 weeks ago, when I actually started Safer, I had a young man who almost OD'd on heroin in the back of my car. And I was driving around Boston, and it was really uncomfortable. I mean, he kept passing out, laying on me and all this. And so finally, he passed out. And he, after getting really agitated and fidgety, I was looking in the rearview mirror, and I noticed him putting his hands in his pocket. And so I'm like, okay, am I going to get robbed? I really didn't know. So there was these two policemen on the side of the road, and when he passed out, I got out of the car, and I said, "Hey, hopefully you can help me and help this gentleman. He might need an ambulance." So they got him an ambulance, and as soon as I got back in the car, all of these incidents came into my head, and I said, you know what? There has to be a safer, better way to do this, and that's how it was born.
So what you're talking about is not only a safer way for female passengers to get a ride, but also a safer way for more women to feel comfortable driving for a ride-sharing company. So what is going to make, specifically, Michael, what's going to make Safer different from Uber and Lyft?
Okay, well, you brought it up already, and I could have just pointed this incident out. In Texas, I mean, they did the same thing in Boston. So it all starts with the background checks, okay? And as you know, the other rideshare companies have had to pay a lot of money because they said that they do really thorough background checks.
Mm-hmm.
My background check when I signed on took about 7 hours. You can't do a background check, a thorough background check, in 7 hours. So what I did, instead of what Uber and Lyft do, is where they're sort of resisting what law enforcement and lawmakers want, I actually went to the Boston Police Commissioner. I went to law enforcement across the country, and I said, you tell me who we should use when we want to do our background checks. And so they all, about 98%, recommended this wonderful company out of Massachusetts called Safer Places. And what they do, they are known throughout the country as the most thorough background screening checks in the country. And in Massachusetts, for example, this is one little example here, it's called a CORI check, C-O-R-I. Anybody who has to do anything with bus drivers, children, you have to have a CORI check, okay? If you don't have a CORI check in Massachusetts, the court systems do not talk to each other digitally. So if I get arrested in Boston and I live somewhere else, you would never know if you don't have this CORI check. So we're one extra step, we're doing CORI checks.
So what you're suggesting, Michael, is that it's very possible for someone to drive for Uber or Lyft and have a shady reputation or a shady past or something that would cause you not to want to get into the car with that person, and you would have no way of knowing that.
Exactly. And another step, too, is let's just say I get hired to drive for Uber or Lyft, and then 3 weeks later I get a DUI. Nobody will ever know. With Safer, we're going to have rolling background checks randomly, so that way we make sure all our drivers are up to speed.
Michael, we were talking at the beginning of the program about, you know, your wife who wanted to be a rideshare driver and so forth. And when we're talking about being able to provide safe transportation for women, now since you started this, do you have a lot of women drivers now on staff, and how's that working out for you?
Well, here is the amazing part about this. When you do something right, good things happen. I mean, I'm just a regular father with three children, an amazing wife. My goal was to have 1,000 drivers in Massachusetts by April 19th. Okay, but because of the incredible media attention that I have been all over the world, I literally have thousands and thousands and thousands of drivers signing up every single day across the country, from Hawaii to Florida to Alaska. So we had to take a little step back. We're going to launch in every city, every town nationwide in the fall, because we need to make sure that our technology can handle the millions of people that are going to use our service. So,
I would say, Michael, let me interrupt you here for just for a second. Uber and Lyft are capitalized by billions and billions of dollars. Yep. These guys are burning money and losing money by, they don't even care they're losing so much money so fast.
Yep.
So now you're a regular guy. You got a family. You don't strike me as a guy who's independently wealthy or anything like that. So yours is a very different situation than some of these other services.
It is 100%. I mean, like I said, when you do something good, good things happen. 10 minutes after I came up with my whole business plan, I got a call from a friend of mine who was actually a plumber, and that was my old business. And he wanted me to invent something, and I said, you know what? Forget that. I said, I just came up with this amazing idea. I don't know your financial situation. And he said to me, Michael, I've never told anyone this. I am worth X amount of money. If you're really going to do this, I will back you 100% and you'll never have to worry about money. From that day 10 weeks ago until now, I've never had to worry about money. So it just really, everything fell into place. Like, I'm talking to you. I've talked to people all over the world, and I haven't had to spend one dime on marketing. It's just because what we're doing, this, unfortunately, there is such a need for it because it's really dangerous. So it's resonating with women and men all over the world. I literally get thousands of emails and calls every single day from men and women thanking me and my wife for what we're doing.
Well, it's pretty obvious that you're on to a good idea, because of all of these cities and municipalities and people who are trying to figure out a way to work with Uber and Lyft but are not comfortable with the same things that you were not comfortable with. And so that's what you're doing is filling a void, and life is probably going to get a lot more interesting for you, Michael. Promise me one thing. When you launch, and your time is not your own anymore, which you're probably already too, but we'd love to talk to you again in the fall when you get closer to the launch. I wish you all the best. We are in Sacramento, so don't forget us here.
I will not. Thank you so much. And yeah, please, I will definitely talk to you then.
All right. Michael Pelletz from SafeHer, which is about to become the new ride-sharing service for the ladies. Thank you, Michael, for joining us on The Travel Guys. When we come back after the news, James is here to get you updated. And then we're going to talk to Gwen Duncan, and she's going to tell us how you can get that seat back that you thought you had on the airplane that you don't have anymore. We are The Travel Guys on KFBK.
It's all at TravelGuysRadio.com, all the bits and pieces that you hear on the Travel Guys Radio Show, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman to my left.
Yes, sir, it really is. I'm actually looking at TravelGuysRadio.com.
I know. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm occasionally Tom Romano.
Yeah.
And Gwen Duncan directly
across.
We're
really happy you're here.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you very much. Not as happy as I am, trust me.
Well, it's been a scramble. I mean, the folks here at KFBK, especially Andy in the other room here, have been really terrific about helping out and making sure that everything was in place. But, you know, no matter what they did and stuff like that, you have a lot of radio knowledge, sir, and it's hard to replace.
Well, it comes with years.
All of that knowledge.
Doing the same thing over and over.
You know what the amazing thing was? People said, wow, Tom's in the hospital, and we still hear him on the radio every 20 minutes. So he's doing some voiceover for some
weird
commercial thing. Gwen Duncan is here in the studio with us. Hi, Gwen.
Hello.
Hey, she's got the whole family here, Tom. She brought the whole clan here.
Husband
Ron is here. His mama, Wanda, is here. Wanda's going to turn 95. Is that right, Wanda?
August 5th,
Wanda turns 95 years old.
95?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She's looking pretty good,
I'd
say. She
does, yeah.
She's looking very good for 95.
Well, thanks for coming. They our listeners can't see this, but
no.
I probably couldn't look any worse. Oh. I haven't shaved in about 5 days. And
yeah, well, that's okay. That's a great diet that you figured out.
Yeah, this is not the one you want to go on to lose 20 pounds, trust me.
Exactly, yeah. Just eat hospital food for several weeks, and then, you know, just you waste away to nothing. Gwen, it's good to see you.
Nice to see you guys.
Listen, you came here to share some expertise with us today. We are going to talk about, specifically kind of about airline schedules and seats and some of the weird things that happen to people and they can't figure out what happened, I watched one of these things actually occur not too long ago, and I'll explain it as we get into it here. The first topic we have is the airline notifies you, sends you an email, and says, the plane that you were on is no longer operating. We have moved you to this plane, and it's 3 hours later, and you're thinking, well, geez, that's kind of bad. So when the airline notifies you that your schedule has been changed, and it's more than just a few minutes, what's the first thing that you should do?
Well, the first thing I would do is either call the airline or go online to find out if that's true.
Okay.
You know, they'll say that it's changed, and it's just something that they may have just done for you. And there are reasons for them to have done that. It might have been that you bought your ticket a long time ago at a very reduced rate.
Uh-huh.
And they can sell it for much more now. And so they'll put you on a more unfavorable schedule later.
So they'll take the people with the cheapest seats and say,
and move them
an hour, or yeah, especially if on a Chicago to New York that goes every hour, they'll move you an hour forward or an hour
that's
back
right,
or something.
That's
like
right.
That.
Yeah, they're being kind of sneaky to do that. The one good thing is if you find that is the case,
uh-huh,
then you call and ask for the supervisor and just get it changed.
So if you find that your schedule has been changed and it's something that doesn't sit well with you, the first thing you want to do is go on the airline's website and find out if the scheduled flight that you were on is still operating.
That's right.
And if it is, then you have every right to be put back on that flight.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. It's sad that you have to do that, but that's what they do.
Well, so what you're saying is any time that you get a major schedule change, you should immediately do
first.
Your homework.
Yeah, check there first. It may be legitimate.
Okay.
Now, one of the things I think we were alluding to here is not only did they change your schedule, but with certain airlines, you probably had a seat assignment. And that seat assignment may or may not be the same one.
Well, and that kind of morphs into our second topic
here,
right, Gwen. But in some cases, Tom, you know, let's pretend, for example, you were on a 320 Airbus and now you're on a 319 Airbus. Well, OK, it's a smaller plane now. And maybe they had enough seats for all those people on the smaller plane, but they've eliminated some rows now. And the seat that you physically were in, you know, 24F may not exist on the new airplane. So now you find yourself in 18A or something like that. Is there anything that you can do when something like that happens, Gwen?
Generally speaking, when you're going to do a check-in, uh-huh, and when your seat doesn't exist anymore,
mm-hmm,
when you go to do the check-in, every airline has a different rule, but usually 25 to 40% of the seats are held for airport check-in. And there are a lot of reasons for that. People might be on wheelchairs or crutches or something like that, but also for those kind of reassignments for smaller or larger airlines.
So you had we were talking here earlier, and you had what I thought was a really good tip for people who are, they go to check in, and all that's left are middle seats.
When you're online?
Yeah. You're flying tomorrow, and you go to check in, or you go to select your seat. You bought a ticket a couple weeks before departure time, and it's close to departure, and you go to look, and there's all that's left is middle seats. So you were saying that in some cases, it might be better not to select a seat.
That's right. That's right. In fact, this just happened for one of my clients where the outbound, both segments were fine. And then the third one, we could have picked a seat, but it would have cost us because the only things that were left were premium seats or whatever.
So if it was only a middle seat, or the only thing left was Economy Plus.
Or Economy Plus.
And you didn't want to pay that.
That's right. I just said, do not select seat. And I went to the next segment. So when you go to the airport, then they'll assign it to you. And they save back those 25 to 40% of the
so
seats.
In so some cases, you may get, and this happens to our groups on occasion, a lot of our folks will end up at the last minute in Economy Plus, because
right,
they were the last people to be seated on the aircraft.
And they didn't have to pay for it.
Or because the coach section of the steerage in the very back was oversold.
That's right.
And so when they went to put the group in and put them in, they don't always block seats for people. They put them in when you actually physically ticket them 30 days ahead of time, and they find out they don't have enough seats and they don't get enough cancellations. So that's how some of my people occasionally will end up in Economy Plus Comfort Plus on Delta without paying for it. So what you're saying is if you run into a situation where the seat you can't get isn't available, the seat you want isn't available, of course, the gamble could be then that the downside to that is that you don't pick a seat.
That's right. Run out
of seats, and you're the guy who's involuntarily bumped.
You're absolutely right. You don't have those options of picking the seat. You know?
Right.
The advantage of it, however, is that, like, if you are taking somebody at last second and you want to sit next to a younger, you know, you've got an infant or a juvenile that you want to be sitting next to, then you just wait and then get your seat assignment because they've got enough saved up that you'll be able to sit next
they've
to that
They've covered
person.
That. And if you get to the airport, but if you have a seating issue, wouldn't you tell people to get to the airport? Of course, we're telling people to get to the airport earlier now anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of this whole security BS that nobody has any idea before you go to the airport, whether you're going to wait in a 10-minute line or a two-hour line.
Well, the sooner you get there, the better opportunities you have.
Well, and that's it. No matter what it is. And people who wait to the last minute to go to the airport, I mean, to make you a smarter traveler, if you never pick up on anything that is said on this program besides this one thing, please give yourself enough time at the airport to do what you need to do and then add 15 minutes to it.
Yes.
Just so that when the one thing you get there and this line is long or that machine doesn't work or the parking arm doesn't come up, you know, when you put your card in or whatever, that you've got that little extra time because your panic situation causes a whole lot of stress for everybody else.
It sure does. And you can't imagine how hard that is for the frontline people at the airlines.
And folks, think about before you go to the airport, okay, your carry-on bag, before you go inside the door, think about for a minute, before you leave the house, open it up and just make sure that you didn't leave the water bottle in that you bought after you were through security the last time you flew, because the fact that you have that in there, the more things that they have to stop the whole line and say, you know, bag check on three or something like that, only slows down the system. The TSA people are telling us how can we help them is to please make sure that you don't have these things. And I do it every once in a while. I've got that water bottle I forgot to take out or something like that. So it's really important before you go to the airport, allow yourself enough time, take one last look in that carry-on bag just to make sure that you don't have a bottle of shampoo or something that you grabbed at the last minute or you bought in the airport the last time that isn't legal.
Let's talk about that in a future week, because there's some really interesting things that can happen with checking in, and they'll ask you what is in your suitcase, and you say, "Oh, I don't have that," and then they discover.
Oh, well, you get in trouble all the time.
Oh, thank you very much.
I've heard about your. Well, he's probably with you most. Wanda, have you heard about how much trouble that she gets in? Yes, I'm sure. See, Wanda knows.
Boy,
she's heard about all this trouble. All the time, Gwen is telling me. Well, she got to Chile, and they tried to get her. They held her up for a couple hundred bucks a person, and you know.
And then going into Australia, I forgot I had some what was that?
Some jerky.
Jerky.
Nice.
It was sealed
going.
And everything.
Yeah.
Dangerous jerky.
I was shaking in my boots because they were telling me
Ron
that I
could
be put
probably
in jail.
Thinking, you know, so much for traveling with these travel professionals. You know, all it does is get all it does is get you in trouble.
Experience is the best lesson.
Gwen, thank you so much for coming in studio today and for all the time that you give us on a regular basis to help our folks be a smarter traveler. You've given us some good information today for people that might find themselves without the seat that they want to get. So there you go. Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel. You can find a link to her site on travelguysradio.com, right?
Yes, and I'll put information on my site.
In fact, it's there all the time. Thank you, Gwen.
Thank you.
Gwen Duncan's, what is it, CW?
No, it's CY Travel.
CY Travel. Cordially Yours Travel.
Go CY Travel.
Yeah, CY Travel.
There you go.
Here it is, right on Travel Guys Radio. It's right on the left column there above Chris Elliott's picture. When you look, you'll say, gee, that doesn't look like Gwen. No, that's Chris Elliott there.
And remember, leave your jerky at home. All right. Coming up, do we have Sue standing
we
by?
We do. Sue Biggs, who went on a $25,000 scavenger hunt all around the world.
Worldwide.
And she is going to come back and tell us about it. I am absolutely fascinated. That's coming up next on The Travel Guys.
The Travel Guys on the radio, KFBK, every Sunday, 3 to 4 o'clock. Everything at TravelGuysRadio.com. I'm Tom, he's Mark. And what you got in your hand?
Nothing
there,
but rock and roll forever. Might be a clue as to where I might be next week.
Okay.
Travel Guys winners I have here. If I don't do this, we might forget, and then I'd be in a lot of trouble. We had a lot of folks at our office over the weekend for our preview day open house, and I promised there would be two winners today, and they would from the names that were the folks who attended. So Rosemarie Brown and Nora Nishimura. If you were at Sports Leisure Vacations over the weekend, you have won a $100 travel card. Call our office Monday or Tuesday to claim your prize. Congratulations to Rosemarie and Nora. Joining us on the line now is Sue Biggs. And if that name sounds the slightest bit familiar and you're thinking, where have I heard that before? About 6 weeks ago, we talked to Sue before she headed out on the great scavenger hunt adventure. Sue, how are you?
I am great.
Well,
just having a great time, great memories.
How many days have you been home now?
1 week today.
Okay. So you finished, your last city was Washington, D.C., if I followed you correctly.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, why don't we do this? Sue, if just for those that may not have heard you on the air the last time around, give us a short, less than a minute synopsis of what it was that you did and who you took with you.
Well, I took my daughter with me, and we were a team called the Two Global Junkies, and we traveled around the world in about 27,000 miles.
Wow.
As part of what?
As part of the great, the Global Scavenger Hunt.
Okay.
So we had different clues that we had to, riddles that we had to solve in order to meet the answers to the riddles that were given to us, and then we had to search out the place that was listed, even though we didn't exactly say what it was. We had to take a picture or a video of it, and then we had to meet with another peer group and show them exactly what we had done while they showed us what they had done. And then that's how we determined who the winner was, because the one who amassed the most points was the winner.
Now, Sue, you just spent a couple days. This was very much like if people have watched Survivor, for example, on television. This wasn't perhaps quite as cutthroat, but
I think it's more like The Amazing Race.
There you go. So you guys were all over the place. I mean, you were literally running from one place to the next. I followed your blog online, and it talked about, tell us about a couple of your adventures along the way.
Okay, let me mention the countries that we went to first.
Sure.
And that would be 13 countries. We started in Mexico. We went to Japan. We're all going west. Then we stopped in Singapore. Well, Wendy and I went to Indonesia and Malaysia because they're right close. We did that all in one day, Singapore, India, Malaysia. We stopped in India for about 10 hours. We went to Oman. We went to Kenya, Poland, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, and Finland, and then back to Washington, D.C.
Which was your favorite? Which country was your favorite?
Actually, the most beautiful was Oman, because we were in a Shangri-La hotel, and we were right there on the beach, and it was just absolutely gorgeous.
How could you leave?
Yeah, we didn't want to, even though we had to leave at 2 a.m.
Now, Sue, I followed along, and I read the things that you were writing along the way and stuff, and this, your approach changed during the trip. You guys started out, you were all gung-ho, and then some realities started setting in. Tell us the story.
Okay, we went with the idea that we were going to win this global scavenger hunt.
Uh-huh.
And we are pretty competitive people, but after two or three legs, we realized that we were not going to win.
Uh-huh.
So we reevaluated the situation, and we decided that we were going to just enjoy the trip. We were going to finish the contest. We're not quitters. We were going to finish the contest, but we were going to enjoy the things that we wanted to enjoy along this uncommon ride.
Did you find that those that you were competing against, there were a lot of folks that had done this before that had a lot more, experience, but were even into it more than you thought you were?
Yes, we did have one team there, and this is their ninth time to do the Global Scout.
That's tough competition there.
Yeah, and they've already won five times.
Yeah. Let's go against the, I don't know.
Now, Sue, this wasn't, remind our folks, this wasn't an inexpensive proposition. I mean, this was not free or anything like that.
No, it wasn't. It was, for two people, the initial outlay was $25,000.
Uh-huh.
However, there was a lot more involved in that also. For instance, 2 days we went on a safari, and we had to pay extra money for that.
Uh-huh.
And any time we went into a museum or anything of that nature, we had to pay. In Oman, we rented a car. We had to pay for that. So there was considerably more involved in it.
Are you glad that you did this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Would
I do it again?
Yep.
perhaps. Knowing that I probably would not win, I would be a little hesitant in plunking down the initial cost.
What was the most unusual item that was on your scavenger hunt list and that you ran across? And
the most unusual was having the taxi driver invite you to their home for a dinner.
Really?
Really. We did not do that.
You didn't go?
We did not invite ourselves to dinner.
Okay. So that was part of the deal, was you needed to get a taxi cab driver to invite you to dinner.
Yes.
I see.
And then you had to go, too.
Oh, boy.
It was worth 200 points.
200 points.
And so you decided as you got into this that, you know, the heck with winning. Let's do some of the scavenges and let's allocate some time to so you kind of, you morphed it into a scavenger vacation, perhaps?
We did. One of the really neat things we did, one of the scavengers was go to a concert, to a symphonic concert.
In which country?
Well, in just about all of them.
Okay.
And we, for several times, we couldn't find anything. We decided we would do that, couldn't find it. But we saw where there was going to be a Chopin concert in Warsaw, and so we decided we would go there. We found our way to the address, and when we got there, it was a bed and breakfast. And in it was a room with a Steinway grand piano and 25 seats around little chairs. And there were 12 people there, and we were two of them. And it was an outstanding experience.
Amazing.
Just great. And we're looking forward to this young man being a world-class pianist.
So, Sue, it was different from what you thought it might be. But at the end of the day, are you glad that you went? I mean, was it the life experience that you were looking for?
It was a great experience. It was a life experience, and we did go to 13 countries. So, and we learned a lot, and we saw a lot. We had some really nice people on the tour, and it was really great. Some of the things that, like, one time we were in Tokyo and they were announcing over the loudspeaker something. Of course, we didn't understand it. So we just sat on the ferry that we were on, and three very nice businessmen came up and said, "This is the end of the ferry. If you want to go further, you're going to have to change to boat." Well, we could have been sitting on that ferry all night long. So the people were very, very nice. We met another gal, and she was in Lithuania, and we got there at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Got about 30 seconds.
Okay, and she gave us coins to use the restroom. She called a taxi for us, and there were just people who did great things.
So you made some friends, and you had an adventure, it sounds like.
That is true.
Sue, I can't wait to lift one with you the next time that we're together. Thank you so much for, before you went and after you came back, for sharing a little bit of your adventure with our listeners.
Thank you. I could talk for years, for hours about it.
Thank you. Sue Biggs from Custom Tours in the middle of the country, who went on a scavenger hunt. That sounds like something that everybody wants to do, and not very many people get an opportunity to do. Mr. Romano, nice to have you back in the studio with us today.
Thank you so much. Wrapping it up here, that's the end of another Travel Guys radio show. Back next week at 3 o'clock. We got, all kinds of great stuff for next week's show. You'll be listening for Mark's Travel Tip of the Week, heard every day here on KFBK. In the meantime, you guys all stay well, and thank you for joining us today. Mark, have a great week.
You too, Tom.